calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host the class Hip Hop Past, Present, and Future at Your Place in It with Mike Crenshaw on Saturday, July 7th and 4 p.m. at KBOO in Portland. This class will explore hip hop history locally and nationally, KBOO hip hop programming, how hip hop influences art, culture, and political consciousness, rhyme, writing, and production, and how liberation struggles have contributed to hip-hop culture. Again, that's Hip Hop Past, Present, and Future at Your Place in It with Mike Crenshaw on Saturday, July 7th at 4 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And it is 11 a.m., on the first Friday of the month at KBOO Portland, which means it's time for a Radio Geekly, exploring fan fiction. And there was something they wanted me to tell you. Call in and share your story ideas for popular characters. That's coming up right after I discharge a contractual obligation to remind you that KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning. Scholarships and other tuition opportunities are available. Course options and more information online at pugspdx.com.
You're listening to Radio Geekly at KBOO.
Hello out there in Radioland. I'm just Jess, and welcome to another exciting episode of A Radio Geekly. I am joined in the studio by Godiva. Godiva, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I am well. I am excited because today you have taken the reins out of my glorious hands to talk about fan fiction. It's kind of one of those topics that a lot of us have some insight into. I know for myself, a lot of the fandoms that I am that I enjoy, there are certain things that I wish would have happened a little differently.
Yeah, that's
a little better,
or a little anxious for the new season to come out.
Right,
too, is another reason.
Yeah, you can only binge watch up to a certain point,
especially if you need that good feeling fix too, which I talk about. We have a couple of interviews that we're going to be playing from Mega Thruster and Sarah Goldie from Snowcap, who did Nerd Camp, and that was a big topic of when the world's got you down.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a little more than what the show can provide.
Awesome. Awesome. So, folks, we are in for a treat today. We've got lots of cool things to talk about with fan fiction. And let's dive right in, Godiva. Enough of this intro stuff. Why don't you give us kind of a little description of fan fiction, of what exactly the term fan fiction means?
Well, it's kind of, isn't it like a subcategory of fan art? Because there's a lot of fan art that you can create. You can create like pictures, or you can create written words, which is what we're mainly going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can create music. Like I said, we have an interview from Nerd Camp. You can create events and panels. And so what I think fan fiction really is, Ani said it great on her show earlier on centering about being wrapped with words. And that was on her Positively Revolting show. There's like a centeredness to being able to like divulge in this show that you appreciate so much just a little bit extra.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah, it's got a huge history too. Should I jump into the history?
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
Oh man, yeah, it's got a huge history. It started, I think, as a negative term for people who couldn't quite make it into the more professional science fiction zines.
Okay.
So it didn't have a positive connotation.
Yes, yeah, so it was around like the 30s and 40s, right?
When
kind of more of the printed materials were becoming more popular and folks were actually creating content that was available for people to enjoy and purchase and things like that.
Yeah. And I know canon is a big word in fan fiction. For anybody that's unfamiliar with that, canon is what is, I don't know the term for it, lawfully so.
Mm-hmm.
In the fictitious world, the fandom that you're in, and then non-canon is kind of what the fans create. And I know,
or otherwise known as headcanon.
Headcanon, yeah, there you go. And that work was created actually from author Conan Doyle,
okay,
who did Sherlock Holmes. Sir, oh, I forgot the word. but yeah, they so many people created their own works for Sherlock Holmes, and they started like distributing it among themselves, sending each other their stories in the mail. Another type of zine that's outside of the science fiction zines.
Mm-hmm.
But that became such a huge problem that they actually started publishing articles about the fan creations.
Okay.
And called it canon and non-canon, which is, I guess, a little bit of the play on his name, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. So that's where that word came about.
Yeah, fun facts.
Yeah. And I know it has a huge history of like women writing it as well, and okay, I have a few theories about that too.
Yeah. And that, I mean, now that you see, I mean, Sherlock Holmes is practically everywhere even today.
Yeah,
you know, decades later, there's the TV shows, there's the movies, there's, I mean, there's probably still fanfic that's going on.
And I'm always curious too with how many different adaptations of Sherlock Holmes. There's that one Sherlock Holmes series that stars an Asian woman now.
Yes.
Too, and it has the same chemistry between their show's version of Watson as well, which I'm excited. I want to start that. I haven't started it yet, but I'm pretty stoked about
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess nowadays it moved on from zines.
Mm-hmm.
To more so online as well. And I know that a lot of people are trying to convert the zines back from the 70s and the 80s onto, I know there's Archive of Our Own.
Okay.
I don't know if you dabble around with that. I always assume just everybody reads fan fiction.
Yeah.
So it's like an unspoken thing. It's kind of like when you listen to Hole. Nobody says they like that band, but they kind of enjoy it. Listen to it in secret.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with fan fiction. Everybody reads it.
Like, okay. Yeah, so I'm not familiar. So describe what that platform is.
Well, it's one of the many fan fiction websites, Archive of Our Own. It has a huge database of different shows, books, movies that you can choose from. And I think it's an odd site because you can only be invited to it as a writer. You can't just sign up for it, unlike, you know, different fanfiction.net is another one.
Okay.
It's kind of, I know writers kind of flow from different websites as the years go on. And I know fanfiction.net was very popular about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And now it's kind of like, if you can't find it on Archive of Our Own, maybe you could go to fanfiction.net.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tumblr is a good interactive one. Are you familiar with Tumblr?
I am familiar with Tumblr, but isn't it limited to the amount, like, is it kind of in the way of you can only post so much on each time you go on Tumblr? Or is it like a Reddit page where you can just spill whatever?
It's like a Reddit page.
Okay.
So people can post their
fan fiction. So there's not a limited amount of characters that you can type?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like Twitter where it kind of just cuts you off. But I know a lot of people use Tumblr for like the more interactive stuff. They've got their own personal profile in it. And then people, like, they can open up commissions or does anybody have ideas?
Ah, okay.
And they'll get like little messages saying, what would have happened if, I don't know, Sherlock Holmes went to space, and
and
they can write a short little story about Sherlock Holmes in space.
If they Sherlock like Holmes in space,
and people can comment and interact with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then there's also one that I just learned about called Zinedom.
Okay.
.org, and that one is actually taking old magazines, like fan fiction magazines from various different fandoms, mm-hmm. from like the 70s and the 80s, and they're uploading it into one giant archive.
Wow.
So, I haven't checked that one out yet either, but...
That sounds cool.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. How would you say that with these different platforms and stuff now going into more of a digital age, do you think the reception of fan fiction has become more inviting because it's more accessible in a kind of a digital format?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think people still definitely get slack for it, but I mean, I'm still pretty young, so I haven't been around forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know largely in the 80s and the 90s, it was very looked down upon. There were different TV shows that kind of had episodes making fun of it. I hate to say it, but the last episode of Roseanne, the original run, was like the only episode I can think of where they actually gave kudos to people creating their own works.
Huh.
Roseanne, at the end, I know there's drama going on with her and I can't stand her sometimes, but the TV show from the 90s ended on a note of saying sometimes people need to uplift themselves and they gotta write some kooky stuff and get it out of their system to make them feel better.
Hmm.
But there are a lot of other sci-fi shows that I know kind of harp on creating their own work.
Right. And I'm sure there's probably some like Simpsons or Futurama reference that kind of digs into that too.
I know definitely Gene Roddenberry had a love-hate relationship with it. Yeah, he created a couple episodes kind of.
Through DS9 or?
It was The Next Generation.
Okay.
Do you know... Barkley, the character Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first episode he shows up in, the writer, what was her name? I'll find it in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the character of Barkley was actually created based off of the fans who I think the writer said were like beyond captivated, like obsessively captivated, I think is the term that she used. And it basically made a holosuite program for Barkley where everybody's characteristics were like overly exaggerated to like a grotesque, like Wesley was just a slob, like that nobody liked and was kind of just in the background. And I know Riker was like a, super macho.
Okay.
And, yeah, to like a buffoon level. And Deanna was the goddess of love or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that whole episode was basically harping about like, if you're too socially awkward of a person, you need to escape into this. Yeah, it was a mess of an episode.
Yeah, I remember Barkley, but that's bringing back vague memories of all of that.
He was based off of nerds that they couldn't stand.
Okay.
I know Doctor Who did something similar, too.
Yeah. I mean, Doctor Who's been around forever.
They got a love-hate relationship, too.
Yeah, I could see that. And I know for, you know, like Sherlock as well, there's probably some of those undertones of people going, you know, why can't, you know, the one fanfic that I've always seen in regards to Sherlock Holmes was the relationship between Holmes and Watson.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like a more than a bromance kind of thing. Like, is he really married? You know, like...
You know, that's something I want to get into later in the show, too, because that's something that really missed me. I have this whole page written out.
Yeah.
But I did actually find her name. It was... Sally Caves wrote Hollow Pursuits. That was the Next Generation episode I was thinking of with Lieutenant Barkley.
Hmm.
I just wanted to say her name.
Yes.
give her kudos. Yeah,
give her some props.
Yeah, for her hate of two nerdy people.
Yeah. So why don't we start talking about maybe as we're going into like media and we're name dropping and stuff, why don't we mention some folks that have done fan fictions that have become like actually caught on and gained popularity and reached a fan base of their own. Do you have some people in mind that you wanted to mention?
Oh yeah, I actually did a little bit of research about the fella that did the Bob's Burgers and Archer crossover, and I just wanted to mention his name because I couldn't find any recent articles on him. His name is Simon Chung.
Okay.
And he's
by the way,
the
I love Bob's Burgers.
Same here. I love it. It's actually got like a married couple that's just like happy to be together, happy to chill with their little chaotic family, and everything's fine. Like it's a loving,
right,
awkward family relationship, and I love it. And then Tina does fan fiction too.
Aww.
Which I totally love. Erotic friend fiction.
That's right. With her unicorns and butts.
Yeah. I can relate. I love unicorns and butts.
Oh, and she throws in some zombies in there too.
Oh, yeah. For good measure.
For good measure.
Yeah, exactly.
Twist it up.
But yeah, Simon Chung, I couldn't find any update articles on him about 6 or 7 months ago. I think it's closer to 7 months now.
Okay.
He made, I think it's like this 5-minute little video where he took soundtracks from both Archer and Bob's Burgers and combined them together because he saw the episode of Archer where Archer gets amnesia.
Oh.
And ends up in the restaurant from Bob's Burgers in like this temporary family situation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he was like, that's a great idea. What if Archer came to Bob's Burgers? And he spent a while on it. I think an interview said that he spent at least 6 months on it. And I know Simon Chung is actually a professional studio artist, mm-hmm. so that helps him a little bit. But he creates fan videos for fun. He did a fan video of the Mormon play that the South Park creators did.
Okay, the Book of Mormon?
The Book of Mormon. Okay. He did a cute little fan video of that. That got some traction. And then with this Bob's Burgers crossover, the showrunners of Bob's Burgers actually saw it on his Twitter account.
Huh.
And this small little exchange, only 2 or 3 public messages were sent back and forth of, this is amazing. Do you want to work on our show?
Wow.
And he was like, this is a dream. Because he's creating his own stuff in his studio. Nothing uh-huh. that's like gone crazy. But he has been officially working for Bob's Burgers for the past 6 months.
That's cool.
Yeah, he did his first episode was the Christmas episode
that
aired last season.
Okay.
So I just want to say I'm super proud of him.
Yeah. Good job.
That's a big dream for a lot of people, you know? Yeah. And there's a lot of examples for fan fiction authors that have made it.
Yeah.
Not all of them great.
Right. So these folks have been like fans of the show, would you say, and then kind of like adapted their own content to like push forward? Or how would you, like, because Simon, like you were saying, he had his own content that he was creating and things too, and then it was just like, what if,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing.
Most of the time it seems that fan fiction and fan art creators who have professional experience tend to be the ones that get hired on most likely.
Yeah. So the likeliness of you and I creating some kind of fanfic might not go farther than like a Tumblr page.
Exactly.
Okay.
Unless it was just so good.
We're going to brainstorm now.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I know as far as Star Trek goes, because I'm a big Trekkie, I'm sure any avid listener of Radio Geeky is like, oh, Godive is probably going to talk about Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
But a few times I've been on. Yeah, Axanar and Star Trek Continued are two big examples. And they, the creators of those series, both have professional experience too.
Okay.
They both didn't have the same ending though.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of the legal issues with Axanar.
No.
At all.
No.
Okay. So there is some drama. I was going to try and get an interview with either of the two original creators.
Okay.
But there is still heat between the two, and the interviews I read sounded scary.
Oh.
So I thought I'd just do some research
instead. Not pleasant.
Yeah. But yeah, Axanar started off as an idea. They created this pilot almost where they were introducing the story that they wanted to tell.
Okay.
They actually had a lot of actors from Deep Space Nine and from Voyager. Playing characters, not reprising their roles, but playing characters in the story, which is amazing to me. I can't imagine writing a fan fiction.
Yeah.
And then having the actors I had in mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually be in it.
And so they were trying to brainstorm, like, how are we going to move forward? How are you going to create this big project? One of the creators stated that we should do a small set of series. It'd be easy. Mm. I know not a lot of people on this crew have experience, so it'd be, like, great to try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other creator was like, go big or go home. We got to make a movie. And so they created a crowdfunding website specifically for turning it into a feature-length movie.
Wow.
And then the first creator was saying, well, maybe we shouldn't go that big at first. Nope, they went ahead, did the crowdfunding for a big movie. And I know the one that wanted to do the movie, he actually went to the Star Trek conventions and talked to the people in charge of the copyright for Star Trek. And he said, if there's ever any boundary that I cross, if you ever want me to stop or put a pause on the project, just let me know. And they were so far along in production, they actually filmed and finished and edited an entire scene based on Vulcan, and posted it online. And then out of nowhere, they got this cease and desist, not even a cease and desist letter. They never got one of those. They got, we're suing you letter. We are in the process of suing you at this moment letter. Big falling out. I think the legal end result was that they were allowed to do like 15-minute chunks of an audio show. That's what they were allotted.
So like making like a podcast, basically?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's currently going on right now, too. There's two more episodes. Their website is great, too. It's just called Axanar, if you look that up.
Okay.
They've got all the information you need about their drama.
That's interesting. I know that there was, back earlier this year, we were contacted by a local fan art filmmaker, and they had a film that was a fan fiction of Batman called Agent Grayson that was based upon Nightwing's time at Spiral and the aftermath of what it has done to his family. And we were trying to reach out to get in contact with the producer of it, but it just didn't work out for timing's sake. But that was another one that's a local indie film, and they did the same similar thing. They made like a crowdfunding, and they're trying to push to get just, you know, money to produce this film, but they hired like local actors and things, so it was all kind of a centralized thing. So I'm trying to look up the production company so folks can check it out. But were there other ones that you wanted to mention, Godiva, that the artists that have made it?
In contrast to Axanar, what I was talking about, there's the Star Trek Continues as well, which I know George Takei reprised his role of Sulu, and Walter Koenig reprised his role of Chekhov for it, which it just surprises me that CBS would allow Star Trek Continues or New Voyages to continue as it did, creating 45-minute episodes. It was about 30 to 45 minutes. I think they released about 10 or 15 episodes over the span of about 10 years. But it just is interesting to me that they allowed that, which is great. I mean, they're amazing episodes. If you haven't seen New Voyages, definitely look it up. And then poor Axanar, they get, you know, they get their butts kicked. It's just interesting to me. And then, of course, there's E.L. James.
Yes.
Of 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody knows the story of that, how it started out. Wasn't it Twilight fan fiction?
I don't know. I didn't get into Twilight, so okay. I don't know.
I didn't either, but as far as the fan fiction circle goes, it's E.L. James and 50 Shades of Grey. That's another one that made it. I'm not sure about their professional history at all, but hey, they're rolling in the dough. The subjects that they talked about in the book, I didn't appreciate that much, but I guess they made it.
Then, I mean, they have, like, I don't know how many movies out now from it. Yeah. So, anyway.
Moving on.
There's some things there that we can dive into, but we will not.
There you go.
So, I wanted to talk about a little bit of these interviews that you recorded and some kind of like some like personal stories, right, about fan fiction and kind of people's experiences.
Yeah, I have a little bit lined up for the pre-recorded interviews. Sarah Goldie, who I actually met at the Star Trek convention, she is a community organizer and she does discussions on panels.
Okay.
And she actually organized a huge charity event, which I wanted to bring up, as well as after her interview, we have Mega Thruster, a different form of fan art. Nice. They have a nerd band where they sing about different geek themes, which I thought was pretty cool. And we go into our thoughts about that. And then after the interviews, I wanted to bring in my friend Keanu, who actually writes fan fiction, and he's trying to make it as well.
Very cool.
In the professional world.
Okay.
So after those interviews, we'll go ahead and talk to him.
Let's take a listen to those interviews now.
I am with Sarah Goldie, who is hosting Nerd Camp in benefit for Snowcap. Could you please describe the event that's going on tonight?
Sure. Nerd Camp is definitely for nerds 21 and over. Tonight's event is at Red Castle Games on Foster. Our entertainment includes Matthias the Charming Cardist, our favorite magician, Katie Wynn, our favorite comedian, and our favorite nerd band, Mega Thruster. The fundraiser portion of tonight is for Snowcap Community Charities, which included a raffle and a little library. Snowcap Community Charities, if you're not familiar with it, is a food bank that services all of East Multnomah County, 82nd and East, including Gresham, Fairview, Troutville, Wood Village, all those folks. They serve about 9,000 people a month in our community who are in serious need.
And how did you get involved with Snowcap?
So when I was younger, my dad was a member of Kiwanis, and he would take us along when Kiwanis was delivering food boxes for Snowcap at the holidays. And later on, my dad ended up being a board member for Snowcap, and now I'm a second generation board member at Snowcap. It serves such a basic need in our community, but also such a desperate need, so it's something that's very important to me. I know there are people in my neighborhood who are getting help from Snowcap. I had someone come up to me at the event tonight and say, hey, Snowcap helped me when I was a kid, and I went there again when I was in my 20s and needed help. I've had people say, hey, Snowcap helped me when I was a kid, here's $100. It's amazing. It helps so many people in our community, and it's so needed. It was created actually by churches in the area who just saw a need and wanted to fill it. And it's been around. Last year was our 50th anniversary.
And how many years has Nerd Camp been going on?
That's a good question. 2 or 3 years now. I held the first one. It was Friday night and all day Saturday at a bar. We took over both floors of the bar and had events going, had concert in the evening, all kinds of giveaways and activities. The camp theme comes from that I wanted people to not just show up to the event and sit in a corner and feel socially awkward like a lot of us do.
Yeah.
I wanted people to try new things and talk to strangers. So I came up with the idea of giving people merit badges for doing different activities at the event, such as speed friending or talking to the librarians and getting a recommendation. The librarians brought a bunch of representative sci-fi and fantasy from Multnomah County Library you could check out on the spot. We had books with pictures there, giving comics recommendations. We had a Matthias the Charming Cardist going around doing magic tricks. Just all sorts of things you could do to get these merit badges, and if you collected enough, you got a prize to take home. So I really wanted people to just get out there and talk to strangers and make new friends and feel like they really gained something from the experience.
And can I ask why you chose to do a nerd theme?
Because I am a nerd, so it's what I know how to do. It's, you know, it's the kind, I want to throw the kind of parties that I want to attend, is the thing.
I gotcha. And can I ask your involvement in the fandom in general? Because I know you're involved in a lot of cons and discussions and...
Yeah, another big thing for me when I was starting Nerd Camp was a lack of diversity in the local convention scene and feeling like things weren't getting done about it, so I just wanted to do something about it myself. So a big thing at like the all-day Nerd Camps is having our panels all talk about some aspect of diversity or self-improvement having to do with geeks. So it might be something like representation in our media. It might be geek artist protest, those kinds of topics, trying to give everyone a fun day, but also improve our community and ourselves at the same time.
Do you think that's like a reoccurring theme in most of sci-fi is opening your eyes to like diversity and morality and things like that?
I think one of the best things about science fiction is when it uses the genre to explore new ideas outside of the norms that we have to live within in our lives. So I mean, Star Trek is a big example of that.
Yeah.
Putting in the future and having this future where we can step outside of the things that are holding us back now and saying, hey, it's not really so far-fetched that we could fix the problems that we have to live with now.
And I noticed, actually, we met at the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and I noticed I met a lot of people who had, like, the same ideals, who were doing podcasts and discussions about that, like, opening up diversity. And do you see a lot of that with, like, the fellow fans that you meet? Like, do you see a lot of those active community members who are also in the fandom?
Very much so.
It's crazy, right?
It's wonderful. I think Armin Shimerman said something great when someone was complaining about Deep Space Nine being on a station instead of being on a spaceship. And he said Star Trek was never about ships. Star Trek was about hope.
Yes.
And it's giving us the hope for a better future. And so many of us that are marginalized in society today see a better future for ourselves going forward.
Are you going to plan on having a Nerd Cap for next year as well?
It's definitely in my mind for the future. I would love to do another one of the one I did last year where it was women only. And instead of raising funds, we collected feminine hygiene products. That was a lot of fun and it filled an important need for Snowcap because I'm just going to go into the spiel right now. Feminine products aren't covered by food stamps and they run about $70 a year. And that's a lot when you're a family who is having trouble even putting food on the table. And if you think about like a single mom with a couple of dollars, it's enormous. So we were able to give them about over 9,000 feminine products after that event. So I would really love to do that again. But I'm actually starting a new program for SnowCap to encourage young donors to sign up for small monthly recurring donations. So that's going to be my main focus going forward.
And do you have any upcoming events in the near future?
Yes, our big kickoff event for this new donor program is going to be a Harry Potter night at SnowCap, where you're going to take all your all seven of your first-year classes, and in your classes you're going to learn about what SnowCap does and what your money is going to support, because they do so much more than just giving out food. There's a lot going on there, and I want people to know what it is.
Hey, I'm Chris Waffle.
And I'm Joel Michella.
And we're Mega Thruster, pop culture, geek rock, out of Oregon.
And you guys are out here helping out SnowCap at the Nerd Camp.
Indeed. We play the sci-fi conventions, and we were just up in Seattle doing, we were at Emerald City Comic Con, and we play, yeah, well, we like to play events that are nerdy where, you know, people get the references, but also we like to play events where there's drinking involved, because the more you have to drink, like, the better we sound and seem.
Well, I've only had 3 drinks, and you sounded amazing. I don't know how to...
Okay, good. Good.
Really. And what is your connection with Nerd Camp?
I don't know. We played the second Harry Potter one.
We met Sarah through some mutual friends and heard about the event. And then we went to the first one just for fun, my wife and I. And then when the second one came up, she asked us to perform. And we've played at a number of them. I think there's only been like one or two that we haven't played. I'm not sure how many she's done, but we've been playing at a number one. We like, you know, giving back to the charity, and it's a great time. It's a great crowd, and so it's a lot of fun. We like coming out for it.
And y'all made some donations as well, didn't you?
We did. We donated a what did they call it? The Mega Thruster package. Signed Mega Thruster t-shirt and album.
No. It was just the download, which nobody bid on.
Nobody wanted a free download.
Sad. It was sad.
But then we added the albums and a shirt, and there was a bidding war. It got crazy in there.
And then how long have you guys been playing together?
About 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah, how did you guys find each other?
2 years. We were at Craigslist hookup.
Oh, word.
It was a Craigslist lost connection, I think.
What did it say?
Section.
So he was a little devious. Ooh. Or I should say Sarah was, who wrote it, right?
Yeah, my wife put the thing out for me because I had trouble making friends.
Didn't put any information about being nerdy or comedy. It was all just, I need someone to play guitar for my singing.
Then we hooked up. And then we connected online, and then we met at a bar and had a drink, got to know each other. It was actually a lot like my dates when I was single. We kind of met, felt each other out, and he said he was down. And
he saw the science officer cap, and he was like, this is it.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, anytime I see a Star Trek reference, who's your captain?
My captain is, I will say, Picard.
All right.
Because we're both bald.
You got a rep, man.
Yeah.
So you guys have a lot of involvement in other areas in nerd culture then too, or?
It's mostly just the music, really. I mean, I like to go to nerdy stuff. So I like to go to this stuff anyway, even if I wasn't performing. I'm interested in the whole nerdy culture kind of stuff that's especially going on here in the Pacific Northwest. I think it's really cool, but we're mostly just.
Have you had any memorable shows that you've played that really stuck out?
I can't say this is the best show we played, but I don't know. 2 months ago, we played in Salem, a little bar,
mm-hmm.
and I fully expected no one to care one bit. Mm-hmm. And then Chris made a funny joke about one of the songs has a reference to Renaissance Fair, and so we made a joke about how you know, like, well, this isn't the crowd for that. And then like half the crowd was like, oh, we totally go to Renaissance Fair. So
yeah.
I'm like, well, I misjudged this room.
Yeah. And they had been drinking all day and at a dive bar in like Salem's oldest dive bar. And they literally had been there all day drinking. And I sold every CD I had.
Nice.
It was crazy. Yeah. They loved it. That was a fun one. This was a great show tonight. The crowd was awesome. I had a lot of fun. And we haven't played in a couple. We took a little couple month break, and so it was nice to get back on stage.
I figured the Nerd Camp people were sick of seeing us every single time, so we gave them a break.
Yes. But now we were back, and we've played a show where it was at a convention where it was kind of half full, and there was a woman maybe like in the second row in front of us, literally asleep. We've played a show where there was like a table kind of in front of where we were playing, and during one of the songs a woman walked up like in front of me, picked up the table and walked away. So we played some weird things, but we played a show with Allie Gertz and Molly Lewis, and we had this joke that was a setup, and we played the final song, and we got a big standing ovation at the end. That was probably, I felt like that was a really good show. Yeah. That was a fun show.
And then can I ask what your guys' favorite songs are and why?
Of ours?
Yeah.
Oh.
I like
in general.
I think Britpop fan. let's see. I really like, and I'm going to be a little selfish here, because I didn't appear on the first record. But I like a lot of the songs on the first record. But I really like the way that the second album turned out, partially because I produced it.
Yes.
But I really like the Wands at the Ready, which I think is the second song on that record, and the second song we played tonight. Just because it was sort of just almost like, it felt like a throwaway song. It was just an idea, and then all of a sudden Chris had it written, and we recorded it. And it was done, and it was like this. I was like, "This is a dance track. This is so different than anything we've done."
Yeah.
But I really liked Wands at the Ready.
I was gonna say Wands at the Ready too, actually, and I like it because it's so when we play it live, it's a lot different than the album version, which is more like electronic. But when we play it live, Joel has a little solo part where we don't sing, so I can step away from the mic and do my stage moves where I'm not singing. But it works both ways, and I feel like it's catchy, has a catchy chorus. I enjoy Wands of the Ray too.
Special honorary mention to the Nazi punching song.
Yeah.
Which I was just, I was so giddy for Chris to listen to it, because he sent me
his singing track. Oh, you should have seen the look on me. I wish you were there. I was like, oh my God.
He sent me the bass part and the singing part, and I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to do with this, but I didn't tell him at all. I sent him the final version. And
I lost it. It was awesome. We haven't ever done, I don't know if we could do that one live.
No.
But we can't really do it live.
Because it involves the Seven Joels chorus.
Yes. It's very interesting. But there's a video of it up on YouTube that kind of put together, so you guys can check that out. Right, you got to punch Nazis.
You got to punch Nazis.
Yeah.
What makes you want to put all that energy into creating nerd-themed music?
So this is a new, relatively new thing for me from when I joined Megathrust. So I've never done that. I've played in bands for my whole life and I've recorded my own music for the last 25 years. But it's quite fun to play Chris's music. It's catchy and it's well thought out. It's clever. So I don't necessarily know all the time what he's talking about with all the nerd stuff.
Well, that's kind of you, Joel. I appreciate that. Not that part, but the earlier part. I understand.
Because Chris is a nerd, and I'm just kind of a nerd.
Uh-huh. But yes.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. No, you're a nerd, and I'm a geek, is really what it is.
There you go.
Yeah. And I, before I moved up to the Pacific Northwest, I did more comedy. It was more straight comedy. Played a lot of comedy clubs and did that kind of thing. And then I took a break from music, but it was, you know, creators have to create, right?
Yeah.
So I felt it still inside me. And I thought, this time I'm just going to sing about what I love. And what I love is this nerdy stuff. That's what I did. I'm just going to start singing. If it's funny, because I like to be humorous like that is. But some of the songs are more serious and they're not really funny. And now with everything going on in the world, they're starting to get a more, I think, social justice-y.
Yeah.
A little bit as we move forward.
A little revolutionary vibe in this last record.
Yeah.
I mean, Wands at the Ready, I mean, it's kind of a joke, kind of some innuendo, but it's also a, you know, nerds, like, pay attention and there's stuff going on and we need to.
The album Wands at the Ready. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you could always argue that sci-fi has always had a message of morality.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And using those, you know, science fiction tropes and stories to make you think about what's happening in real life, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm doing that, but I am. Those emotions are starting to come out more in my songs because of what I see going on in the world and, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to be serious, but it's like sometimes, and Chris and I were just talking about this the other day, that it's like, wow, it just feels, sometimes feels weird trying to get psyched to be funny right now.
Yeah.
But you got to power through, Chris.
That's right. We got to do it. When I get up on stage, and I mentioned at the show tonight a couple of stuff and made some things, but also, you know, we played Are You Ready for the Summer?
That's right.
It's
we played badly.
Well, it was a rocky start, but we got it eventually.
As somebody who's been very dependent on sci-fi to uplift myself in these very hard times, I appreciate your guys' show. It made my night very nice. So I just want to thank you. Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to us and enjoying our set, because we like to play. We love to play. I love getting up there, and it's fun for us. So if there's an audience for it, that is perfect. You can find us at megathruster.com, Instagram at megathruster, and Twitter megathruster go. We have two albums out now. We've been playing a lot around Portland. We play in Salem. And now when we're walking in this, we're out here on the street, and it's hard to not get recognized. Yeah. And, you know, we have to stop. I like it, but sometimes I just like to be a private person too. Sure. Joel really likes to be a private person.
That's why I changed costumes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It looks different. There you go. Oh, it's you.
His
hat off. Sorry, that was bad, like podcasting. People are like, what's happening? Joel took his hat off.
Let them guess.
Oh my God, it's
Megathruster.
Oh my God! We're the ones at the ready, and we're holding on to them tight.
And you're listening to Radio Geekly. That was a couple interviews that Godiva got with Sarah Goldie of Nerd Camp and Snowcap Charities, as well as Joel and Waffle from Mega Thruster. And did you know Mega Thruster is from a show, Godiva? Did you know the name?
Is it Voltron?
It is Voltron. Our lovely board op had to inform us about the name. So, yeah.
What did he say? Activate interlock?
Yeah. I did not watch Voltron when I was younger, so thanks to Sam for filling us in. But it was kind of cool to listen to those interviews and hear personal stories about the kind of how their experiences with fan fiction were, and you know what they were doing. That event, the Nerd Camp event, is really cool to benefit local charities, and you know we're all about community building in here, and so that's really awesome to get people involved and engaged in local stuff. So yeah, great interviews. I enjoyed them a lot.
Well, I just wanted to showcase that fan fiction is a huge community, but also there are different forms mm-hmm. of fan art as well, and it's mostly about, you know, in science fiction, it's always about doing the best that you can,
right?
And doing, like, you know, a big moral message. Mm-hmm. And so people can get inspired in so many different ways, through music, through events. And what Sarah does is really cool. And I know that's a huge reoccurring theme. Like we were talking about, Chase Masterson is an actress.
Right.
And she was so inspired by the sci-fi community that she created a charity to help anti-bullying.
Right.
All across the U.S. She'll send you information and informative videos for free.
Yeah.
To help with anti-bullying.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And I wanted to mention too that when we were talking earlier about some local fanfic that's going on, I mentioned a film production company that was doing a Batman fanfic called Agent Grayson. That was through No Balance Productions. You can find out more information about the film and a lot of their works that they are doing here in Portland at nobalanceproductions.com. I just wanted to clarify and get some information out for that. So, and now we're going to dig into some of our personal experiences with fanfic. We've got another guest collective member here in the studio, Keanu.
Hi, how's it going, everybody?
Hey.
Yeah.
So you are actually a fanfic writer. Is that true?
Yeah, actually. It's kind of started back in like high school.
Okay.
We used to do these little journal things, and I would actually just start writing from like other stories and create my own story within it. So
okay. It
actually captured a lot of my friends' like imagination. They're like, oh, really? You're going to write another one? I'm like, I guess. So it just kind of built off of that. And it's been really fun. I like the whole like idea of like putting your own input into it and just creating from what's already been laid down. Pretty
right.
much the conductor, the rails are set. You're just driving the train.
Yeah. Do you have a certain genre or fandom that you branch off from, or is it all just kind of
sci-fi and fantasy?
Okay.
That's like the main things I usually go for, just because
okay.
the creativity level of like one's imagination can just go wild, and it would still make a lot of sense, and to most people anyway, especially nowadays with all the movies, anybody can just visualize it a lot better than they could back then.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you have a platform that you like to do? Do you like to write it out and actually print it, or do you go online? Do you have a blog, or like how do you produce?
Well, yeah, actually right now it's more of a personal type thing. I haven't actually set things out.
Okay.
Not yet, just because right now I'm kind of in a slump, so don't really have too much internet access. And at the same time, just getting my stories all together, because right now they're in a big pile. But oh man.
Do you have maybe like an example or two that you would be willing to share?
Yeah, there's one that I wrote off of. This one's actually not much of a like actual fanfic, more of an original story, but I wrote it just taking the idea, because I'm a huge anime fan, so I watch a lot of anime, and there's like this one called Naruto, which I'm pretty sure all anime fans know and love. And so I just love the whole idea of the whole ninja and the ninja village, so I just kind of create my own about the female ninjas, and I call that one the Flowers at Night.
Okay.
So yeah, that one I'm actually kind of currently working on. I have that saved on my hard drive. And
cool. And you are also a Star Wars nerd too.
Yes.
Do you have any Star Wars fanfic that you've worked on?
I do, actually. There's one that I created. I actually just kind of started it recently, so I'm not really too keen on the titles that I've chosen.
Okay.
But it actually follows about this girl who's actually kind of from like the Japanese side of things, so I kind of made it like put more of a Japanese element into it.
Okay.
Just because I mean that's what George Lucas got most of his inspiration was from samurai films and stuff, so I kind of wanted to put a little bit more aspect in it. So I kind of have her from like the outskirts of the far, far away galaxy to just a far galaxy.
Okay.
And
I
having
have cannons like that too. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's the outskirts are always the most fun to play with.
Yeah, it really is, because like nobody really has explored that area.
Right.
So anyways, as she's growing up, she actually finds Chess, where she works at this diner, and it turns out the people that owned the diner actually knew her parents, and that actually her father was a soldier for the Empire, and
okay.
her mother was actually a Jedi that he was actually supposed to go and hunt.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, yeah, so she's on revealing this own story of her own parents at the same time, trying to find her place in the Star Wars universe. And
nice.
Finding out, like, why is she able to move things around, and, when she gets upset or a tantrum, electricity comes out of nowhere, just that whole, like, what's going on with me, what's wrong with my body, how come no one else can do this but me type of story, finding oneself in a way.
That's pretty cool.
Do you project in your stories at all?
Like project?
Foreshadowing?
No. Like yourself.
Oh.
Because
gotcha.
I do hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do. I try not to do it so much, because sometimes in my old stories, I would put a character that's like literally based off of me. I'll even draw a character and it'll look like me. And I'm like, ah.
This is me if I was super cool.
Exactly. So I'm trying to work on like not putting too much of myself into it, but more of the elements I like to it. So.
Right.
So then what inspiration are you grabbing from if you're trying to reach outside of yourself?
Music mainly. I'm more of a hip hop fan and rap artist. Like, it's just what my family originally had me listen to when I was growing up. So when I actually start to draw a certain character, I'll actually branch out and listen to, like, you know, Spotify or like YouTube, and just listen to a bunch of recommendations, and I'll actually find different songs I like in different genre, and then it would actually help me create that certain style, that certain type of character, and like what they would be like if they did, like, listen to this type of music and stuff like that. So it just helps me, you know, get more of a different idea in their own ideologically thinking and stuff. So
what would happen if, like, Jabba had like a hip-hop DJ come to his palace?
Oh yeah. he would be a pimp. He would have a nice feathered hat, you know. The chain around Leia would be like very high priced and expensive, maybe bedazzled in like some jewelry.
Oh, man.
Some import export stuff going around his hut, you know. That would be, of course, illegal.
Oh,
being,
man,
the pimp gangster he is.
Yeah,
I always thought trip hop and prog rock, those are my two big ones. Like, anytime you get some like super spacey beat in the background,
right,
I'm like, I would play this song in an intergalactic like battle race or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If I was on the run in my pirate ship in space, I would be playing this song.
I mean, right. I remember playing Final Fantasy as a kid and just being fascinated just with the music. With it,
yes.
You know,
yep,
like how motivating it is to be like, oh, I'm going in, you know, like I'm exploring this new world and everything.
And now if you hear,
like,
a familiar tune, are you just like cued
yes,
in? Like,
yes, exactly. So I could see that as being music,
yeah,
being an inspiration for,
yeah,
creating,
and just the thing, everyone loves that little dun da 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 when you win.
Right.
The Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I love Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
That's another thing I actually grab inspiration off of, just seeing the characters are and how their story develops. And most Final Fantasy always picks up from like a whole new story, but yet keep in with that same, you know,
yeah,
universe with the monsters and everything. So I love that.
That's pretty cool. For me, I haven't dived deep into fanfic. I appreciate the folks that do create the content, and
some of it is
really, really awesome. Some of it is cringy. I'm not gonna lie, it's very cringy. But
yeah.
I was just scrolling through that fanfic.net that you were talking about, Godiva, earlier, and for me, I always thought it would be cool to do a, what happens if like the Star Trek and Star Wars universes collided?
Were
and
there
of
piles
course,
of pages?
Of course, there were so many pages, so many fanfics of just the crossovers with just, you know, TOS and the Star Wars realm, TNG and the Star Wars realm, and
both
together. You know,
course.
Like Kirk comes in, Kirk and Spock comes in, and they meet, you know, Riker and Picard, and it's like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden they run into C-3PO, and, you know, it's just,
yeah,
like all of this like collaboration, just giant stew of characters just all slapped in. And I'm like, that would be really, really hilarious just to read through. Like, even some of these little one-line descriptions that they're talking,
yeah,
about, you're just like, what is happening?
Oh, man. Yeah. I love it, especially when a show only has like 3 or 4 seasons and it's just,
mm-hmm,
like your crutch for a huge chunk of time, and then like you don't know what to do, you're just laying in bed thinking about the show, and then your mind wanders and like creates these little scenarios and everything,
yeah,
and you're like, what would happen if this happened? And then I'm the less creatively inclined. I usually just like repeat a couple of ideas in my head, and then of course you got to go online and you're like, help me,
right,
search
yeah,
fan fiction or archive of our own and find the fic. And thank God, like, some of the bigger series, they really explore,
oh yes,
it keeps me alive sometimes.
Yeah.
Just being able to search through all those archives and,
oh man,
find some stories to keep it going, because I want to keep enjoying the show. And some writers, they really get in tune,
mm-hmm,
with like like the attitude and the ideas,
yes,
of the show.
Yeah, and I think branching off of that, Godiva, I think it's important to mention those individuals that are thinking outside of the box in some of those realms of like better representation,
yes,
better actual character development, you know, not having people be tokenized and things. And that has come out, I feel, in fan fiction forms, hopefully to become the norm in the not so distant future.
It's always been a battle to like acceptance and pushing the boundaries of what's socially been shut down in the media. And I feel like sci-fi, they try really hard, but there's so many different platforms that you can get on professionally now that it's kind of hard for them to push the boundaries because there's always other options in like the producer's mind. You know what I mean? And so I feel like fan fiction is constantly like,
and the producers,
well, we can pick up the slack.
And the, so sometimes a lot of the producers are set in one certain type of demographic as well, so they're
like white boys with Rick Berman.
You know, so they, their mindset is very, very narrow focused. And so when you don't have people that are thinking outside of the box, the content doesn't become outside of the box. So yeah, I think it's important to recognize those individuals that are doing fanfic that are more POC inclusive, more women inclusive, more LGBT community inclusive, and
that's what I need help through fanfiction.
Yeah, definitely.
And honestly, more alien friendly things, I think.
Yeah.
You don't really see too much characters of actually being like a different race, or, you know, even just a made up race of like, you know, some alien off of a planet. You don't really see that too much, you know? So that's what I was actually kind of doing within my Star Wars fanfic with the girl. She's actually going to be, you know, adopted child of two aliens that are running this restaurant. So, you know, I was like, no, you need to add, like, you know, more of, like, an alien-based type, like, friendliness, you know, like, get more creative with, like, certain, like, species that could be out there, you know? And, like, actually have their own story, you know, have, like, or at least make them more involved to where, like, a lovable character, you know?
So the takeaway I think we can make from today is fan fiction is awesome. Fan fiction can be necessary for development of story, creativity, all of that kind of thing, and showing appreciation for the folks that do make that content and encouraging others that you still can. You know, there's no limitation to imagination. You know,
and we appreciate your work so much.
Thank
you.
Thank you. It motivates us to want to read and create some of our own. And who knows, there might be like a fan fiction film convention, you know, where just fan fictions actually become reality.
And if there isn't, there should be one.
Let's
make one, guys.
Let's
make one. There's got to be some streaming service that would want to pick that up, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because, like, like everyone has like amazing ideas, especially when you actually get the minds together, they can create something more, like the most beautiful thing ever, I think, anyways.
It's pretty awesome. So I wanted to say thanks to Godiva and Keanu for giving their insight on fanfic today on Radio Geekly. And I want to take just a couple more minutes before we wrap up here to talk about some upcoming events here in the Rose City. June 28th through July 22nd, which is ongoing right now, the Coho Production Summer Fest is happening. Different theater productions that you can check out from local folks. More information at cohoproductions.org. GearCon 2018 Steampunk Convention is happening this weekend, July 7th and 8th. At the University Place Hotel. Information on that is located at pdxgearcon.com. Sea Dog Nights and the Gypsy Carnival, Pirates and Gypsy Camp, out in Lebanon, Oregon, July 19th through the 22nd at Cheeto Lake Park. Information and tickets on how to get involved with that, seadognights.com. That's S-E-A, like the ocean, dognights.com. On July 20th and 21st in Sherwood, Oregon, the Sherwood Robin Hood Festival is taking place. Robinhoodfestival.org for more information on that. And at the end of this month, July 28th and 29th at the Waddle Boys and Girls Club, the Portland Zine Symposium is happening again. More information at portlandzinesymposium.org. I know last year myself and a couple collective members, Conch and Kyle, attended, and that was a lot of fun to get into the zine scene, and who knows, we might see some fanfics there.
Speak of the devil.
Fan art in zine form. So, yeah, pretty exciting stuff for all you to catch up. If you wanted to send us some content topics you want to talk about, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/radiogeekly. Check us out on the Twitters at @aradiogeekly, or send us a good old-fashioned email at aradiogeekly@kabu.fm. Godiva, what else is coming up on KABU today?
Well, I know coming up next at noon, we're going to be covering Blues Fest until 9 o'clock tonight, so that's pretty exciting. And then if you actually check out KABU.fm, they are live streaming right now Occupy ICE.
Yes.
So that is something
on the ground reporting there. You can live stream on the website.
Or with very intense coverage.
Yes, yes. And the Blues Fest is going to be at noon here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Thanks again for everyone for listening. Thanks to our lovely board op, Sam, for doing what he does, board opping awesomeness. And we will catch you all next month. Take care.
It's 11:59 a.m. at KBOO Portland. And very soon now, we're going to be handing you off, as Godiva said, to the Waterfront Blues Fest. This is, I don't know how manyth time KBU has brought you the Waterfront Blues Fest in more or less its entirety, or at least the two main stages. And this is, it's, we're able to, KABU's able to do this because the community turns out to support community radio. A few times a year, we give you the, you have the opportunity to call us at the station and speak to a volunteer who will help you set up your contribution, your ante up into the pot. And of course, we can afford bandwidth to have a website going. That will take your contribution at kboo.fm. So there's many different ways for you to get involved, and I encourage you to do it. Now, other of our friends and neighbors and supporters in the community, everyone gets involved and makes a contribution that makes sense for them. I give my time, other folks give their money. And another way that KBOO program is made possible is by KABU member listeners and support from the Oregon Country Fair, July 13th through 15th in Vineta, Oregon, featuring music, food, circus, and more. Admission and parking passes available through Tickets West, online at ticketswest.com. Shuttle service available at the Valley River Center, that's in Eugene. More information for this family-friendly event at OregonCountryFair.org.